The question that Mary Oliver asks, "What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" highlights the connection between poetry and spirituality for me. I write to help me know, what I want, and what I find meaningful. I write to help me remember how I want to be in this world. The poem I'm going to read next came to me after my sister-in-law, Diane, passed away this year. In sorting through the love and grief of knowing her and letting her go, I wanted to remember all of the things that made her uniquely who she was and the lessons from her life that I could try to incorporate into my own. And when I shared the poem with Diane's loved ones and my own friends, my personal experience of our love and connection spread even wider in a way that I think she would have loved. Love Lessons from Diane. Open your door wide. Always offer food or drink to visitors. Tell them, I'll start over. It's one of those days today. Okay. Love Lessons from Diane. Open your door wide. Always offer food or drink to visitors. And tell them how glad you are to see them. Welcome not just your loved ones, but also their loved ones and friends. Reach out. Draw in. Pass up no cause for celebration. Gladly share the burdens. Be there in good times and bad. Say thank you as freely as good morning. And I love you as freely as goodbye. Ask for help and ask how you can help. Listen, let them know you see them and you love the whole package. Show up, even when they say you don't have to. Bring something, a pair of hands, a laugh, food, a card, a game, or a chance for $1 million. Don't ask, just start washing dishes. Show them you were listening. Show them you remember the last time you talked to them and the things that they care about most. Ask how their sore spots are feeling today. Ask about those not present. Frequently visit the treasure house of your good memories and bring them out to share. Tell long stories with good punchlines and happy endings. Tell plenty of jokes and don't be afraid of repeating them. Ask everyone their first name. Treat every smile and laugh as a win. Hold no grudges. Forget no kindness. Touch, hold hands, give warm hugs. Find something to thank everyone for. Tell people what you love about them. Tell the truth with a smile. And tell it like you see it. Never stop playing together. Enjoy the sound of other people's joy. Value laughter above everything else. Appreciate something about every day, every gift, every person, everything in your path. Take the time to say goodbye. Tell them you love them every time you part. Give them not just love, but also lessons in how to love, like these. And now let's hear from two other poets.
Hello, my name is Renee Simon, and I am a member of James Reeb Congregation and also a poet with a recently released chapbook titled The Good Truth. I'm thrilled to be asked to share some thoughts and poems with you this morning. When I was approached for this task, I was hesitant at first. As many of you might remember, I participated in a service last year centered around poetry. In particular, poems that contributed to our spiritual journeys. But as I spoke with Susan Moore about this topic and the topic of this particular service, poetry for the living, and reflected on my own poetry, I felt indeed that I had something to contribute. Poetry has been my salvation. It has been my heartbeat, my voice box, my emotional thermometer, and my life's work. While I may be in college pursuing a master's in art therapy, and I believe that will be my professional calling, I believe poetry is my personal spirituality, the way I connect with my higher self, as critical as oxygen. I don't know why it is this way for me, but the more I write, the more I need to write. The more I find my voice, the more I need to sing. So I write. This morning, I'd like to share two poems from my chapbook that are particularly meaningful to me in terms of my spiritual journey. The first poem, entitled Indelible, was written just a few months after my partner passed away from a drug overdose in my early months of my own recovery. This was one of the first times I put pen to paper with the intent of sharing it with the outside world. The first time I was going to publicly speak out about my pain and what I'd gone through. Writing it was nothing short of cathartic. Since then, the poem has been published twice and well received, and it has brought me no small measure of gratitude and healing to be able to share these words with the world. Indelible. My heart has wound down slow these days, like an old wristwatch, skips metaphorical measures when I think of that night, how I kissed your spittle-flecked lips between compressions. Come back to me, one, two, three, come back to me, one, two, three, ruby droplets drying on your cheek. I could not save you. Once you were breath, bone, cartilage, you would think your ghost would be weightless, but I am so heavy with you. Weeks after, I find myself guiltily peering through your journal pages and sketches, posthumous voyeur of your life's doodles. The butterfly you drew, symbol of your recovery, swirled and labyrinthine. Page in hand, I trundled to the tattoo parlor, barely managed a whisper over my heart. Your blood into ink, onto bone, needles stinging like recriminations. Now I imagine her wings batting, lifting off, riding my night sighs to find you, returning to me, bearing your wordless benedictions, worn as an amulet against another day without you. My second poem, Retreat, was written about a year after Indelible. I was attending a 12-step spiritual retreat. For me, the retreat was groundbreaking. Set on a YMCA camp in far northern Wisconsin in early April, we were blanketed with a freak snowstorm that weekend. And while many folks were sad about the weather, I found my higher power had never been more viscerally present for me than in those quiet walks through the snowy woods of that retreat. I found my own spirituality again at that retreat, and I am blessed to have had that sacred experience. Retreat. Falling stillness, whiteness, peeling birch trunks, tracing icy roadways to bleached heavens, abandoned benches like rice long after the wedding, scattered along arched forest paths, bathed in diamond radiance. Far off, the echo of a drum circle, a shot of laughter, a door creaking, fades with each brittle footfall away from traces of modern human modernity, only the indiscernible golden thread of human connection left to tether one soul plodding purposefully toward the horizon crowded with stars and the sound of infinity. Thank you for letting me share some of my thoughts and my work with you today. Peace be with you.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you for sharing that. My name is Deb Mirbo, and I'm a member of JRUUC. I serve on the worship team and the board of trustees, but today I'm here to share with you some thoughts and poems. Like many poets, and as Susan described earlier, I often experience the first draft of a poem as coming from somewhere else, almost like it's being dictated to me, or like being struck by a bolt of lightning. Sometimes I'm amazed at what shows up. Did I really write that? I'm taught a lot in the process of writing. Now, all this might sort of sound deep and pretentious, but frankly, I usually experience it rather differently. For one thing, it certainly doesn't operate at my convenience, which one of my more theologically inclined friends assures me is the way spirit often works. So the first poem I'd like to share today expresses what this is like in a lighthearted way, because I deeply believe that humor is part of spirituality. So with apologies to one Will Shakespeare, it's entitled The Lunatic, The Lover, and The Poet. I didn't decide to be a poet. Some poems decided to be mine. And they are damned inconvenient. They keep dropping in at the least opportune moment, when I need to hurry to an appointment or in the checkout line at the grocery store. I would really have preferred not to be muttering metaphors under my breath when the cashier said, "That'll be $37.95," and "Have a nice day." And when I stood in the parking lot to ponder words for the exact shade of blue in the sky, I nearly got run over. I hear some people chase the muse. Well, I'm glad that works for them. I, on the other hand, often feel like I'm swatting at a swarm of flies. Maybe if I smash some down on the page, then they'll leave me alone for a while. And of course, the writing of a poem, while that might be meaningful to me as an individual, is only half the picture. The rest of my spiritual poetry practice is sharing it with others, offering the listeners or readers the opportunity to be amused, moved, inspired in their own ways, to draw their own conclusions or take their own actions. As with any type of art, the audience may see in a given poem ideas that the author did not consciously put there. That's part of the magic of poetry. Those who read or hear it can find the truths of their own hearts and minds brought forth and reflected back to them. So in that spirit, I offer you the following more serious poem, which I wrote during the wildfires last summer, when so much of the country was burning in so many different ways. It's called Sacred Ashes. For 3 days, the sky and sunlight have been altered by the ash plume from raging wildfires more than 1,000 miles away. The sky has turned silver, the sunlight brass. Sometimes there's a whiff of wood smoke, even here at ground level. Even here, the ash has gotten into our lungs, made us cough. But we're breathing in sacred ashes. Not only the remains of countless trees and bushes, grasses, herbs, and wildflowers, but of all the tiny insect lives, the squirrels, the birds, the deer and bear, beloved pets, the humble holiness of homes, and perhaps the ashes of people who were not able to escape. The ash plume has now crossed oceans. And as we look up and notice, may we realize that we've all been consecrated by these sacred ashes, marked in our very breath and bodies for a higher purpose, for remembrance, for work towards change. Thank you for allowing me to share some of my poetry with you today. Namaste.